your Bibles. How many of you brought your Bible?
Amen.
How many of you have a red Bible? I do. I've read my Bible.
Amen.
How about y'all? Do you read your Bible? Hold it up. Wave it at the devil's face. I read my Bible. Amen. I have a red Bible. That's good.
Amen.
Got you, didn't I? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. When you found your place, we want to begin reading in the 23rd verse this morning. If I would have had my choice today about what to preach, I wanted to preach on heaven. Thought about Miss Alice's homegoing. I wanted to preach on heaven. Maybe he'll let me preach on that tonight. But this morning, I feel like this is where God wants us to be studying the Word from. Hebrews chapter 11, if you would stand, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That is the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 23 through 27, if correctly read. Father, I thank you today for the opportunity you have given us to read the Word of God, to hold it in our hands. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity you've given us to come boldly before your throne, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And we come in prayer in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you've allowed us as a church to meet together this day. I thank you for each person who has gathered in person, and for these who've tuned in online, for these who may be sitting in the parking lot through transmission. Lord, I pray that you would touch each and every heart. Lord, I pray especially for families that are going through bereavement. God, would you comfort them? Would you help them? Lord, for these that have sickness, would you heal them? For these that have worries and anxieties, God, would you just calm their fears, soothe their nerves, and let them know that you're on the throne. What could be wrong? Lord, I ask now that you would touch us as we try to preach. God, you spoke to us about these verses. And God, that means you have someone in mind. Someone today needs help. Someone today needs encouragement. Someone today needs understanding and enlightenment. Today, God, I pray, would you open your word and show us and teach us and help us today, God, as your servant, to be obedient to your voice and not do what we want, but be in control of the master. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. I thank you for standing. You may be seated. I believe our writer here in the book of Hebrews is Apostle Paul. There are a lot of people that may argue that point, but I can discuss it with you after. Paul did write the book of Hebrews. I'm very sure of it and very certain. It's amazing. He begins this chapter saying, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Paul goes on to mention by faith Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And he comes all the way, even Joseph, and he comes all the way down to verse 23 and he mentions Moses. Moses' parents exhibited faith's courage when there was a law that said any Hebrew male that was born, he was to be cast into the river and drowned. But they did not fear the king's commandment. They weren't afraid of what the government said that they could not do. And they chose, they made a choice to spare their child and hit him. And at the proper time, they laid him in a basket and let him go down the river. And we know that Pharaoh's daughter saw that basket. She sent a servant over to get the basket. When they opened the lid at just the right time, God pinched that baby. And that baby went, "Wah!" and right there that woman's heart was knit to that baby's cry. And we know that she sent for a Hebrew nurse to take care of the baby, and his own mother raised that baby and got wages for it. If my mama had gotten paid for raising me, Lord, sweet Jesus, she would have beat old Walton all the pieces in the money that she would have had. Now look, Moses, being raised by his mother in Pharaoh's daughter's home, she taught him about the Lord. And Pharaoh's daughter taught him about education and all the finest things of Egypt. And the Bible says in verse 24 that by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made a choice, and that choice was based on his affection. In verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose affliction. Verse 26, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He chose by affluence. Now, look at verse 27. We're going to preach. Not fearing, in the middle of the verse, not fearing the wrath of the king. What did he do? He chose to forsake Egypt. He looked away from the things of the world, not fearing. You know who also didn't fear? His parents didn't fear. And they instilled that same teaching in their son. He was not afraid of the wrath of the king, which means his choices were not based on fear. His choices were based on faith. You ought to write that down sometime. Our choices, our decisions in life should not be based on fear. They must be based on faith. Moses is not looking to an earthly king. He's not looking to a Pharaoh. He is looking to the God, the King of kings, the God of all glory. That's who he's looking to. The Bible says, for he endured. What does that mean? He kept on. He finished. He did not falter. Some of you feel like you're going to faint. You're going to fall out. You're going to falter. You can endure if you're making choices and decisions by faith and not fear. He endured, underline this part, as seeing him who is invisible. I want to preach today on seeing him who is invisible. You see, what made Moses choose the reproach of Christ over the riches of the world? He saw him who was invisible. All the choices and decisions he made, he looked to the Lord. This is not just a glance towards God. Some of us, we come into church and we just on Sunday make a little glance towards the Lord and we never look at him again the rest of the week. I'm talking about someone having a gaze, a your fixed attention, your entire focus is upon he who is invisible. Let me say it like this. Elijah appears out of nowhere and he stands before Ahab. This is what he said. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, was Elijah confused? He knows he's standing before Ahab, but he said, before I stand before the Lord. What Elijah saw was, I'm in a greater courtroom. I'm in a greater throne room. You think I'm standing here in front of an earthly king. I stand before a heavenly king. Amen. Hear me, church, very clearly today. You are standing, or you're seated right now, in the throne room of a Most High God. You may sit here today and say, well, the Supreme Court or Biden or the media has the control in our country. Honey, let me tell you who has the control. His name is God Almighty and His Son, Jesus Christ. We must see He who is invisible. Dr. Ralph Sexton Sr. How many of y'all remember Dr. Sexton Sr.? Watched his program, been to his church, heard him preach? He was on the boat going towards Israel with a group of Jews. When they neared the shore, he was on the deck. They were shouting and praising God. And he said, all I looked and saw was fog. That's all I could see. He said, this is great. The Jews are shouting and praising God, and they're in the fog. All they see is fog. And he said, I said to someone, what do you see? I don't see anything. They said, look up. And when he looked above the fog, he saw the peak of Mount Hermon. And he said, I couldn't get my eyes off of it. And then I started shouting and praising God. He said, here's our problem. You're caught up looking at the fog. You see what's in front of you, the mist, the fog, the problems, the circumstances, and God says, oh, I hope this will help you. I just want you to look up a little higher. Not just glance, but gaze. Set your eyes upon me. And when you do, honey, God will help you in that very place. I started researching in the last few days all the times that Moses was allowed to have a view or a gaze of God. There were so many, I knew, I had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I thought, I'll never get it all preached. This will be a series. So I don't even know, maybe just one time. I want to go back to the first time that Moses got a view of God. Do you remember where it was? At the bush. Exodus chapter 3. I want to read that today. I think that's important to us today. Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land... out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression therewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now here we have a man. We know that Moses tried being raised in Pharaoh's daughter's home by his mother, being raised in faith, beginning to reject the things of the world, refusing those things, and receiving the things of Christ, he decided, I will deliver Israel on my own. And he saw an Egyptian oppressing a Jew, and he sought to deliver him, and by his own hands, he killed the Egyptian. And for that murder, it got him exiled to the backside of the desert. Every time you try to do something, the work of God, in your own strength, you're going to end up on the backside of the desert. Pastor Darren, how do you know? The Word of God says so. Amen. Pastor Darren, how do you know? Because I've been there. Amen. I've tried to do things on my own. I tried to manufacture. I tried to work things out. And every time you try, you'll fail. And God will send you to the backside of the desert to teach you about His presence and to teach you about His power. Moses did not endure when he tried to work for God in his own strength. Moses endured when he looked to God and saw Him that is invisible. Number one, I want us to consider the revelation of God. Here is Moses having faltered, having failed. He's on the backside of the desert. But God is not through with Moses. Sir, ma'am, God is not through with you. God is not through with the church. God is not through with America. God still has business to conduct. He wants to reveal to you who He is. May I just remind you, as Moses was tending sheep on the backside of the desert, having failed, having faltered, having pretty much given up, he was not looking for God. But God came looking for Moses. And the Bible says that God appeared in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Here's your problem. You spend most of your life believing this premise, that you have to play hide and seek with God. You're trying to find Him, but you can't. Oh, I said, no, God is not trying to play hide and seek with you. He's not trying to say, find me, seek me if you can, get a hold of me. And He darts and dashes and He hides and runs away. No, this is not you or I looking for God. This is God looking for you. And God wants to reveal Himself to this church. God wants to reveal Himself to your family. A holy God wants to reveal Himself to me. Little old, podunk, nobody, me. It's not about me. Listen, this is not just a Sunday morning thing. God wants me to see Him each and every day of my life. Are y'all okay? Some of y'all are looking at me right now going, oh my, I don't know where we're going. God wants to reveal Himself to us. Number two, we see the response of Moses. When this bush was having a flame in the midst of it, and it was not consumed, verse 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Now, the bush, in the bush is the fire. The bush is not in the fire. The fire's in the bush. But the bush is not consumed. And the word for bush, it's the word senna. It means an old, dry, thorn bush. But there's a fire in the middle of an old, dry thorn bush. And Moses was amazed that this thing was burning but not consumed. And he said, I'm going to turn aside and see this. Here's our problem. When God chooses to reveal something to us, we will not turn aside. God tries to get your attention. Says, I want to reveal myself to you over here. And you're like, I'm too busy. I've got sheep to tend to. We've got a death in the church. We've got sickness in the church. I'm busy with my family. We have COVID in our community. I am so behind with what I have to do. Can I get a witness? God trying to reveal Himself to you, but you won't take the time to turn aside. You won't take the time to cut the broadcast on. Won't take the time to come to the house of God. Won't take the time to read His Word. Won't take the time to pray. Won't take the time to spend alone with the Lord. Now, Moses saw this, and he saw his sheep, and he knew their needs, But he said, this thing that I'm seeing is too big for me to pass up. Will you hear me today? God is too big for you to pass up this morning. He has something he wants to show you, something he wants to do for you. He's too big. Do not pass him by. And as soon, just as soon as Moses turned aside, look at verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Just as soon as he saw Moses turned aside, he spoke to him. Amen. Preacher Darren, God's not spoke to me. Honey, it might be because you've not turned aside. It might be because you're more busy telling him rather than wanting to listen to him. You want to tell him how it is, tell him how it ought to be, tell him about your situation. Honey, he already knows about your situation. He wants you to get your head above the fog and see him. Now, Moses. And Moses' response was, here am I. God said, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Oh, Preacher Darren, I know all about that. Well, honey, I don't. But I'm going to tell you something right here. As I studied feet in the Word of God, did you know that every time you see feet and it relates to shoes, it speaks of redemption and authority and power every time. You remember Ruth, who came back to Bethlehem, and she was poverty-stricken, she was a widow, and Boaz fell in love with her. And he said, I want to redeem you. But did you know she had a nearer redeemer, kinsman redeemer, than Boaz? And so he went to him in the gate, and he said, listen, Ruth's land is up for sale. He said, I want to buy it. He said, but when you buy it, you're going to buy her too. She'll become your wife. She's a Moabitess. I don't want no association with her. She'll mar my inheritance. He said, all right, take off your shoe. And so that other kinsman had to bow his knee and take off his shoe and give it to Boaz as if to say, I can't redeem it, but you have the power to. I would remind you in the scripture of a prodigal son who went out to the hog lot of the world. He wasted everything he had on righteous living. He faltered, he failed, and he realized when he didn't have the husk that he was feeding to the pigs. He said, I'm going to rise and go to my father's house. And the father said, hey, bring forth the best robe, put on him, and a ring on his finger, and shoes on his finger. He was saying, get off your shoes, boy. I'm giving you new shoes. And now you've been redeemed. You've been reclaimed. You've been restored. God saying to Moses, you faltered in your own strength. You failed, but get your shoes off. I'm interested in redeeming. I'm interested in restoring. I'm going to do a work in your life. There's some of you, you need to take the time to get out of your shoes so he can get in your shoes. You're too busy. I heard him singing about the battle. One of our problems is you're trying to fight the battle on your own. And you need to know the battle is the Lord's. And you need to act like it's the Lord's. Get out of your shoes and let him get in your shoes. Amen. And watch what my God's going to do. So, we have seen that the Lord wants to reveal himself. We have seen the response of Moses. Number 3, and I'm done. The relationship is going to begin. I just want to remind you that this is an old, dry thorn bush. When Moses was giving a blessing to each of the 12 tribes of Israel, in Deuteronomy, you don't need to turn there, chapter 33, verse 16, he referred to, this is the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Now to me, just Walter Palgy, a bush, an old dry thorn bush, and fire are incompatible. It seems to me that one would consume or destroy the other. Right? Let me give you a greater one. God's Spirit living inside a hell-deserving sinner. It just seems to me that it's incompatible. It just seems to me that the one would consume and destroy the other. Oh my, now hang with me now. This bush with the thorns on it represents the curse and of sin on mankind. And the fire in the bush, God is saying, I want to dwell in the middle of my people. I'm not out there far off somewhere, God. I want to personally be your God. I want to indwell you and be with you every day of the week. And I found that out on July 13th, 1978, at the Balfour Baptist Church in the middle of the aisleway. He became my Savior, my God, and indwelt me. And I'm telling you, what I thought was incompatible, praise God, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. Later on, Moses goes back up to this same mountain. He receives the Ten Commandments. He gets command from God. God said, I want you to build a tabernacle. I want it to build it to be built exactly after this pattern. And so Moses, when he explicitly follows those instructions and is complete with the Ark of the Covenant and the cherubims and the mercy seat, when it was complete, God moved in. Later on, David desired to build God a house. God said, you can't build a house. You shed blood, but your son Solomon can. David began to prepare all the materials, the gold, the silver, all these things. And Solomon began to build the house. Listen, this is what David said to Solomon. He said, my son is young and tender, and the house that is builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. What, Preacher Darren? Magnificent. It's an interesting word. It takes the word magnificent and combines the word wonderful. It needs to be magnificently wonderful. The word is magnificent. You probably never even paid attention to that. What a word. Solomon took all the stones, the jewels, the gold, and began to build a magnificent building unto the Lord. When that building was complete, when the instructions were followed explicitly, God moved in. God will not move in the building until it's complete, until it's entire, until it's been finished the way He said. On July 13, 1978, in the middle of Balfour Baptist Church, God saved me and He moved in. Now, wait a minute, Preacher. Now, time out. You've got faults. Yeah, I do. You've got failures. Yeah, I do. You and He are incompatible. He's a holy God. You're a hell-deserving sinner. Yeah, you're right. But the night I asked Him to forgive me and save me, the Bible says, ye are complete in Him. I was a new creature. God wouldn't move in the tabernacle till it was complete. God wouldn't move in the temple till it was perfect. And God wouldn't move inside of you until everything was done when He saved you. He's done everything for you that He needed to do to help you. Now, I want to say that our God, three things I'm done. God is an abiding God. He wants to live with you. He wants to abide with you. Mase Jackson was going to the Holy Land with a lot of Jews and with Americans, and on board was a Chinese lady. And he began to talk to the lady. He said, do you know where you're going? Why are you going here? She said, years ago, my husband and I came to America. We sailed on the ship. We came into America with my three little gods. Every day I'd burn incense to them and I'd pray unto them. And she said, one night my husband was asked to go to a meeting with these men. And he went. And he came back and he said, darling, you need to hear this. You've got to go back with me. They're talking about a God who can see. They're talking about a God who can hear. They're talking about a God who can speak. You got to go back with me. They went back together to the service. They heard the preacher. He got up and he read in the Bible, out of Genesis, where God said, where God heard, where God saw, and that night they got saved. She said, I went home and I took my three little gods and I looked at one of them and said, you can't see. You can't hear. You can't talk. You've got a mouth, but you can't talk. You got ears, but you can't hear. You got eyes, but you can't see. And she said, I throwed them one, by one, by one in the trash can. And now I've got a God that walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own. Honey, He lives inside of you. And He is an abiding God. And there's not one problem that you and He together cannot overcome. Look with me in verse 7. Our God is an attentive God. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Oh, I like it. He's an attentive God. He has seen. You see that? That means He's looked upon it. He sees what you're going through. You don't have a God that's cold and dry and away from you. Everything you experience, everywhere you go, He sees the problem. He sees the situation. He sees the circumstance. Man, I'm telling you, it helps me to know when someone sees my plight. When someone sees the truth of what's really going on in my life. Your God sees. He didn't just stop with He sees. The Bible says, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. Hey, as good as it is for Him to see, I like the fact that He's heard. He's listening. He's aware. He takes knowledge of. He knows my cry to Him. He knows my voice when I speak, when I talk about my problems. Sometimes, one time in my office back here, I had a young man who came in whose world was falling apart. He began to share with me and share with me and share with me. I couldn't get a word in edgewise. I couldn't say one time the Bible says. I didn't say this is what Jesus would do. I just sat there and went, what about honest? I couldn't get a word in edgewise. And for 1 hour, a little over, finally he looked at me and he said, man, I feel a lot better, preacher. Dan, thank you for your advice. Would you pray with me and I'm going to go. All I did was listen. That's all I did. That's it. Some of you here right now, maybe you're a woman, maybe you're a man. It feels good just to have somebody listen to you. You just need someone. Preacher Dan, I just need somebody to unload on. You go ahead, honey. He can handle your load. You go ahead and unload. He can handle it, honey. He's bulletproof. He can handle whatever you want to lay on Him. He's hearing from you. And He sees from you. And He didn't just stop there. Oh, it gets even gooder if that's a word. Watch here. He says, for I know their sorrows. Oh, I like this part. He knows. You ever talk to somebody? You know, you're trying to unload and you're talking to them and you look in their eyes. And their eyes are not on you. They're glimpsing to something over here. They're not really taking knowledge of what you're saying. They really don't get a hold of what you're going through. You're talking to them. They see it. But they don't understand it. They don't feel it. You ever had that happen to you? Well, if I've ever done that to you, I'm sorry. But I'll tell you something, honey. You got a God. He knows. He doesn't just see your problem. He doesn't just hear your cry. But He knows your sorrow. Hey, His Son is a man of grief. He's acquainted with sorrow. He understands what you're going through. He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Whatever you experience, He has been there. He is in all points tempted like as we are. And as wonderful as it is that He sees me and He hears me and He knows, He didn't stop there. Look at verse number 8. And I am come down to deliver. Woo-wee. Hey, you know that there's no way you could ever tell God something He doesn't understand? He knows what it's like to be forsaken. He knows what it's like to be backstabbed. He knows what it's like to be tried. He knows what it's like to have heartbreak. It didn't occur to you that you'll never tell God something that He cannot identify with. And now He comes down. You may say, Preacher Darren, this problem is too big. I cannot. I don't know. But with God, all things are possible. My God has come down. He sent His Son Jesus. He lives inside of you now. There is nothing you face. Nothing you face that you and He can't get through. Mr. Preacher Darren, if that's true, then why am I in this now?
Have you looked to Him? Are you gazing upon Him, or is it just a glance? Did you get pulled off to the side to focus on Him, or you just continue on your merry way with the hammer down, doing what you want to do? Don't you lay it on Him, honey. It's probably you, sis. It's probably you, sir. But I promise you this, it's not Him playing hide and seek with you. It's you playing hide and seek with Him. Our God is an all-sufficient God. Moses says, Lord, look at verse 11, who am I? This is what God says. He says, I am that I am. Moses is what He's saying. Moses, it doesn't matter who you are. Can I say that again? Somebody's going to get offended. If you're watching online right now, these folks aren't listening here in the church, but maybe you are at home. It doesn't matter who you are. Well, I'll take my tithe back. I'll not make my donation. It don't matter who I am. Let me tell you what matters. Who He is. That's what matters. Wherever your youngin' is that's in trouble. Wherever your problem lies right now. It doesn't matter who you are. What matters is who He is. Who am I? That don't matter. But who is He? I am that I am. In that bush that burnt with fire, God is saying, I'm unchangeable. I'm not the God that was. I'm not the God that will be. I am the I am God. I was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the one that will deliver you from Egypt. I'm the one that sent ravens down to Elijah. I'm the one that delivered Daniel from the lion's den. I'm the one that sent the double portion there to Elisha. I'm the one that blessed the disciples. I'm the one that delivered Paul and Silas. Honey, I promise you, He'll be the one that delivers you as well. He is unchangeable. I don't care if there's COVID. I don't care who the president is or is not. I don't care if you no longer have a job or finances anymore. Honey, none of that matters. What matters is we have a God that's unchangeable who sees, hears, knows, and has come down to help you in your situation. Just as much as He delivered Abraham and delivered Moses, He wants to deliver you. When you look at that bush, it says that God is incomparable. What do you mean? Now, I'm a math teacher. Oftentimes I put equations on the board, Seth. I'll get over there. I mean, Christian Swan has seen some of these equations. I'll say 4x equals 20. Solve for x. So let's put it on the board today. I am equals what? What does God equal? Moses said, God, who am I going to tell them sent me? I am. Okay. Well, what can I compare that to? What does I am equal? Honey, He's incomparable. Well, what about, I mean, that's why I say all the time, I won't give you an illustration of it's poor. Because there's no, God help us, there's nothing that would ever compare to who He is, to what He's done, and what He can do. He is incomparable today. No one else measures up. There's no John bigger. There's no problem bigger. There's no circumstance. There's no situation bigger than your God. They're not even equal to your God. I wish I could put it up here on the board today. They're less than. Hey, man, I got math class today. He's greater than, and everything else is less than. Well, hallelujah. That bush says, I am that I am. God is unfailable. Yes, God is asking Moses to do something pretty huge. Moses tried to deliver his own strength. He's a murderer, and he should have been put to death. But in mercy, all they did was banish him. Wait, preacher, dear God, Moses was a murderer? So was Paul. He held the coats of them while they stoned Stephen. And God forgave them and saved them. If God could save a murderer, He'd save you. a man on the backside of the desert that tried to deliver in his own strength and could not. And God appears to him in the bush and says, I want you to go and tell my people, I am that I am has come and you're going home. Well, when I stand before Pharaoh, what am I going to say? You tell him I am that I am that I am. Moses knows what it's like to stand up to Pharaoh and to get kicked out. Moses knows what it's like to defy what the government commanded and he got kicked out, banished, exiled. He knows what failure feels like. How many can give me a witness? Amen. Three people knows what failure feels like. You bunch of successful people. Just be honest. Raise your hand up high and say, we're having failure. What do I failed miserably. Amen. How about you guys at home? Oh, I see those hands. God sees every one of them. I know that. He knows where you failed. Amen. Moses, I'm going with you. I am that I am's in you and with you. And you're going to go down there. Here goes Moses. He goes walking back into Egypt. He walks outside where the armed guard is outside the palace. What's up, fellas? He just keeps walking. They're like, that's Moses. Why is he back? Pharaoh's going to kill him. This is not going to turn out well. We better follow him, boys. He walks down that big hallway, that corridor with all the gods. The gods of horses and the gods of frogs. And he walks by every stinking one of them. And he walks right into the throne room of the Pharaoh. When he walks in, he notices the throne room is very busy. Dignitaries everywhere saying, Pharaoh, can you do this for me? Can we work out this deal over here? Pharaoh, we want to trade this to you in our land. Pharaoh, we need this. And everybody wants Pharaoh's attention. And all the dignitaries seeking Pharaoh. And in knocks Moses, a little shepherd now. He walks in. And everybody silences and steps back. And Moses, as he gets a little closer, he thinks, I can't do this. I can't. This is too big. And just as he opens his mouth, something down deep inside of him that's burned with fire says, I am that I am has sent me. Let my people go. Now here you are. You got a problem in your family. Here you are, you got a problem on the job. Here you are, you got a worry or a concern in the church. You don't know what to do. There's a worry in your life, a bill, a health, a crisis, something's going on. And you're walking by all the dignitaries and all the armed guards. And you're just walking and you know something's going on because you're getting right through them all. Just as you're getting ready to face that giant, getting ready to face that issue, and you bow your head and say, oh, I just can't do it. I can't go down there today. I can't have this conversation. I can't. Just about that time, something that's burning inside of you, something that you thought was so incompatible, something that moved in when you got saved, when you opened your mouth says, I am that I am. I'm talking to somebody today. I feel like I'm just supposed to quit right here. But listen, on every time for Moses, God delivered him. God delivered him. God delivered him. And God's going to deliver you as well. Oh, it may have took 10 plagues, but God's going to deliver you. How, Preacher Darren, am I supposed to endure while I'm going through this plague, through this crisis, through this problem, as I'm looking, I'll tell you how you're going to endure. As seeing Him who is invisible. They're going to think you crazy. They've already told you. I've been told you need to just quit. I've been told just lastly, throw in the towel. You are done. It is O-V-E-R, over. Give it up. Move on. Go back. Do something else. I've been told it. Not just by the devil. I've been told it by people. But every time I got to that place, something inside of me said, I am that I am. And we press on. You stand to your feet today. I've got more, but God just said quit, so I'm just going to quit. Your head's bowed, nobody's looking. Brother Seth, if you'd come play some hymn of imitation. Oh, there's nothing, no nothing that my God can't do. I don't care who you are or what you face today. Maybe you know a friend. Maybe you're family. You're in a situation or a crisis. I'm asking you today, God is here. He said, "Where two or three in my name, there am I in the midst." Would you take time to turn aside? Would you take time to come before Him? Might be somebody here today say, "I got to get my shoes off my feet. I just want Him to restore. I'm willing to do whatever it takes." God, would you help me today? Folks are coming all over the house. All over the house, folks are moving. What about you at home today? Would you take the time to bow by the couch, over by the bed, down by the chair, get over there by the coffee table? Just take the time and get on your... Listen, folks here are moving. You can bow your knee today and say, "God, I want to turn aside. You spoke in the Word today. You spoke through a messenger today. There's a bush. Here I am. It's set on fire. The glory of God's inside. Trying to speak today. Lord, would you help?" Father, this morning, I pray for these individuals, Lord, that has so great needs that I have no knowledge or understanding of. They're bound by the coffee table, over by the couch. Lord, here in the altar of the church. Lord, our nation's in crisis. Our churches, the men of God, the first responders. God, we need your help. Oh, Lord, we've sinned. And we've not paid close attention to you. But this morning, we've turned aside. Not for a quick glance, but to set our attention and to gaze upon our God. Help us to lift our eyes, Lord, above this fog. Help us to know there's a God who sees, hears, knows. A God who speaks. God, and understands what we're going through. Lord, I pray today for deliverance. Lord, somebody's girl. Somebody's boy. Somebody's sister. Somebody's brother, mom and dad. Lord, we are in a crisis. We need your help. And just as you delivered Moses before Pharaoh, just as you delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, God, would you help us today in our plight? And with this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.